Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bengal Show. This is episode number two. Just two. I'm not used to saying a number that's that low, but you got to start somewhere. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me today for our kind of quick reaction podcast is your buddy, Joe Farzing. How are you, Joe?
Not as good as I was at about 1 o'clock, but we're starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the most bizarre games of American football I've ever seen in my life, and we'll kind of recap it here. But here's where I want to start. I want to get your opinion on this. I probably should have teed this up for you before we started recording. But I came away from that. I mean, there are lots of takeaways. The Bengals looked unprepared. I have questions about coaching decisions.
There were a lot of takeaways by the Steelers.
there were a lot of literal takeaways by the Steelers, absolutely. But I came away from that thinking the Bengals are so much better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bengals played as bad as they could have played pretty much on the offensive side of the ball anyway, and still should have won that game. So that was, I guess, if I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic, I think it's, if you come away from that thinking that the Steelers are going to be better than you thought they were going to be or something like that, no way. I I'm still just as optimistic about the Bengals. So I'll let you tell me where I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right on. The Steelers were gifted 17 points. I mean, they had four turnovers at half and they were up 17-6. I mean, that's pretty bad, that, you know, pretty bad indictment of their offense. If they're missing TJ Watt, I mean, he's possibly thought to have had a torn pec. I mean, that's probably a season ender. They're in a lot of trouble. Trubisky, they didn't make the killer play. I mean, didn't make the killer mistake. There was no turnovers. Bengals didn't cause any sacks, but that's the best they can do. I mean, Bengals had the ball, what, twice as long. They had 170 more yards on offense. That the Bengals were still in when Burrow was doing his best Oprah impression. You get a pick, and you get a pick, and you get a pick. I mean, that they were still able to should have won the game on a couple of different occasions. I mean, that's an indictment of how the Steelers, I think, are going to be.
Yeah, I think so. But good. I'm glad that they're going to be bad. I hate that they're 1-0 now. But the glass half full part of me wants to start with the defense. The defense kept the team in the game and just time and again came through. And even when they were put in very, very difficult positions by all the turnovers. So that's an extremely hopeful takeaway.
Absolutely. I mean, outside of not being able to cause a turnover, you know, they didn't have any huge game-changing plays. They ran the ball, had the page appear. Steelers ran the ball for a grand total of 75 yards on 22 carries, 3.4 yards. That's doing a really good against a team that's geared to run the ball. Again, Najee Harris can't run the ball against the Bengals. This is three games in a row. He had 10 carries for 23 yards, 2.3 carries with a long of 11. I mean, they absolutely shut the run down. If it weren't for Claypool getting a couple end arounds, there would have been nothing. On offense, they had, what, three decent length passes, like a two to the tight end, like on a screen, and one kind of the fireman made a heck of a catch, but everything they kept in front of them, nothing got behind them. They played lights out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's nothing to, you know, to be upset about.
Right. Yeah, and even some room for improvement as well.
Yeah.
Now the other side of the ball, you know, I guess I've buried the lead here. The Bengals lost 23-20 on the last play of overtime in the season opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there are going to be some people that are going to probably already don't ever go on Twitter, but I'm sure there are people already condemning Joe Burrow and Evan McPherson, who did miss an extra point and a field goal. To me, you pin your blame on this offensive line, and although Burrow deserves, Burrow did not play his best game, but the offensive line, and of course, the problems with the kicking game were not McPherson's fault. I'll let you go whichever way you want with either of those.
Yeah, I mean, first off, with the kicking game, I was just reading ESPN, their beat writers' recap, and they didn't mention, like, the line was about McPherson missing kicks. Well, they were missing their long snapper. They were both – the extra point was a high and extremely slow snap back to Huber. He had, you know, he got it down as fast as possible, but they gave Fitzpatrick enough time to get around the edge and get a finger on it to block that. And the field goal, my issue with that is more of the play calling. Why were they, when you're missing your long snapper, because Clark Harris had an injury earlier in the game, and you're to a backup tight end who clearly didn't do well on the, you know, on the first snap, why you're kicking it on third down instead of trying to get a first down or marching down to get a touchdown. That's another story. But again, this field goal snap was really high, was really slow. And Huber, I think, should have just dumped the play. Should have just caught the snap and grounded the ball. But, you know, new down, you know, fourth, then tried again on fourth down. That's why you do it on third down. But it rushed it. Lace, you know, didn't get time to get the laces turned. McPherson rushed the kick, and it missed it by 15 yards. I mean, it had no chance. As soon as it came off his foot, immediately gone. So, and then Burrow, I'm going to put more on Burrow with the caveat. This is the worst game that he's played as a pro. It's probably going to be the worst game he's going to play all year.
Right.
Without the benefit of being able to go back and looking at the tape and seeing what he missed on some of those interceptions. I mean, he just had a bad game. He made a couple bad calls, a couple bad reads, and the Steelers made a couple great plays. The strip sack, it's a great play getting around. I think he came around Volson, and then TJ Watt's interception. Guy made a heck of a play. I mean, he's a all-pro linebacker for a reason. I mean, he's the second highest paid defensive player in the league behind Aaron Donald. There's a reason that he's getting all that money. He just made a hell of a play. So you just tip your cap to that.
Yeah. You know, the game starts out, Burrow is sacked, one of seven sacks, I believe, he had today, and then interception of their next play. And you're thinking, oh my goodness. But I just thought, you know, whatever, it is what it is. And it did not really get better ever. A nice 59-yard field goal by McPherson in the first half was nice. But essentially, seven sacks today. But I did see kind of the caveat that someone mentioned. This was their first time playing together at game speed for a long time. And so surely they're going to improve. I think maybe we're going to talk about – you've already mentioned the questions about why to kick on third down. I've got some real questions about the Zach Taylor. But – you know, maybe not taking that last preseason game a little more seriously, that could have helped. I don't know. Maybe I'm just I'm a soccer fan. I don't know what I'm talking about. But any thoughts on about this offensive line and their ability to improve? Because if they don't improve, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, I get the arguments both for and against. You know, resting the guys, letting them sit. You don't want to wear them down. This is a longer season. You know, last year was the first 17-week regular season. That's an extra game of wear and tear, and you don't want to put any more additional wear and tear on these guys that, you know, that you're going to be counting on. On the other hand, you have four new starters and something is
nice.
I have no idea where that's coming from.
It's the Riverfront Dance project here.
I would love to turn that off. I can figure out where that sound is coming from. Hey, I got it fixed.
There we go. Fantastic.
I had to close out the window with all the stats that I was looking at, so that's great. I'm running naked again. With the four new starters, the only live, full-speed reps that they had were still just in the practices against the Rams. So do you risk a game like this to where – I mean, it clearly they looked like they hadn't played together. I mean, just some of the miscommunication. I mean, they're talented offensive linemen. It's not like these are the scrubs that were out last year. Do you risk having a game like this earlier in the season, or do you risk putting your guys, you know, in live fire, you know, and risk an injury in preseason? So it's, you know, I don't have an issue with either one. Steelers played their starters all three preseason games. Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson both got injured in their during preseason games. So, I mean, this clearly is an argument for both, so.
One more issue, and we're kind of jumping around too much, but one more issue with Zach Taylor that I wanted to mention to you. That last drive by the Steelers in overtime in which they won the game. The Bengals' drive stalled, and they had to punt the ball away. And they had 15 seconds left on the play clock when they punted the ball, giving the Steelers 15 seconds of extra time. That seems like basic, you know, Madden NFL clock management to me. And I don't understand why someone didn't pick up on that and say, hey, let's run this clock down. That's high school sports stuff. Seems like to me anyway. Hey, listen, me criticizing a coach that just went to the Super Bowl. But, hey, that's what we do here at the Riverfront. Any thoughts on that?
That's why we do the hot takes immediately after the games. No, I listened to his press conference, and he was clearly not happy with the way that everything went down. He made it very clear that, like, he wasn't blaming either Huber or, again, you've got Mitchell Wilcox, the backup tight end, backup long snapper. He's the one out there on the field again. So I don't know if it was just them wanting to get the snap off so that Wilcox didn't feel rushed trying to snap under the gun or what, but it seemed pretty clear that he was not pleased with how that, you know, that gave him an extra 13 seconds and they ran the clock all the way down and kicked a 53 yarder at the gun. So those 13 seconds were pretty important. I would have run it down and taken the delay of game and, you know, so that way you're not feeling rushed, but that's me, not them.
Right. So anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about some individual performances. Now, before we get into the individual performances, anything else you want to say just that, your biggest takeaways from the game?
Deep breath and relax. It's the first week. Again, I'm not. I'm concerned about Higgins' injury. It was a big difference when he went out. They were missing. They're stuck throwing to Mike Thomas down the field. There's a couple plays down the sideline. If they had T. Higgins' 6'4" frame and catch radius, you know, there were plays to be made. There was the. They had the one drive to where Jamar caught the ball that could have, should have been a touchdown, caught it at the goal line. They marked him out at like the 1 foot line and they bad set of play calls, but they could have used someone with his, you know, height. You throw the ball up to the goalpost and let the guy go up and grab it. So.
And if you haven't heard, T. Higgins went out with a concussion, didn't return. And I guess we'll wait and see what the protocols are going forward when he'll be available, but presumably next week, but
you would hope so. But I mean, sometimes it's a couple weeks. Sometimes, you know,
right.
It really depends on how quickly. I mean, the brain is kind of an important part of the body, so you want to make sure that you're as healthy up there as you can be.
The brain is not that important here at the Riverfront. So everyone, but you already knew that. So anyway,
everybody, what else you got? Everybody who spends a second on Twitter is very much aware how little brain is actually used. I was kind of hoping that they would have used Hayden Hurst a little bit more. I think there was a lot of plays to be made with him. Their linebackers aren't very good in coverage, and he's a huge athletic target over the middle. I mean, he still had a decent game. He had, I believe, 5 grabs for 46 yards. If you watched, you better have watched the episode number 1. I said he was going to have a big game, but.
No, I didn't. I missed that. Was that here in this podcast feed?
I don't know. You gotta ask your brother about that one. I don't know where he put it.
It was great. Let me just say that Hurst really quickly. The first ball that was thrown in, first time he was targeted, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna love this guy, because it was the second drive, and it was for a first down. He got the ball. He dragged 2 guys. I mean, it was like he was, I don't know, two yards from the first down line. And he just dragged 2 guys across. I'm like, I'm getting this first down. I'm not letting anyone get in my way. I'm like, this is a guy that is going to be popular in Cincinnati. This is the type of player he is. So I'm eager to see what he does going forward as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's a better receiver than CJ Uzomah could ever dream of being. He's not as good of a blocker, but he's a lot more athletic. He's got a lot better hands. I mean, if they can put him in, even if they just replace the targets that Uzomah had, because I mean, there's plenty of other guys to give the ball to, he's got a chance to have a huge season. So I'm excited to see. Again, this is week 1. I'm not going to get doom and gloom. Just reading, because it's fun more than anything else, reading some of the comments on some of the things that people are already saying to fire Zach Taylor. I'm like, he just took him to the – like, I have issues, but the guy just took him to the Super Bowl. And this was one game where your quarterback gave the ball away 3 separate times on, you know, doesn't matter what play call you have. If the quarterback throws the ball right to the other team – you know,
it's a little difficult to win. That's not really Zach Taylor's fault.
Yeah, you could put behind the eight ball a little bit.
Yeah, although, you know, there are real reasons to criticize his performance today, but there are reasons to criticize a lot of performances today. It's week 1, and as much as I like to get doom and gloom, I don't see any reason whatsoever to do it after this performance. I just think everything can be. I'm counting a lot on what people are telling me about this offensive line, everything that went wrong today, other than, you know, Higgins getting hurt, hopefully that gets corrected soon, but everything else is fixable. by just some hard work and some reps. That's my opinion. And you know what? We still have Joe Burrow. And Burrow did, you know, I mean, his overall numbers didn't look great, but he was 30 through 53, threw for 338 yards. He was also a throw into, I don't know, I just, my eyes kind of get a little watery. It gets misty in here when I just watched Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, to me, was fantastic today. And what do you have? He had 10 catches, I think. 10 catches, 129 yards, a touchdown. Yeah. Oh, man, I love those guys. And you're right. You're right. Not having Higgins, though. Well, we're lucky to have Chase and Boyd as well. But anyway, what did you think of the receivers? And what did you think of Joe Mixon?
Mixon was fine. I didn't like the play calling for the running attack. They kept trying to go between the tackles when it – after the, you know, in the second quarter, it became clear that there wasn't much to get. I mean, he had 82 yards, 27 carries, 31 yards. So you take that one carry away and he's at 26 for 51 yards. That's less than 2 yards a pop. I think they should try to get him. No, again, I want to wait and see when all the stats come out to see where the runs went, if there are more, you know, how many actually went outside, but it seems there was an opportunity to get the ball outside the tackles, you know, sweep, toss, whatever play call you want to do, but they decided to stay, you know, try to keep the runs inside just for the cutback lane. So
what are the big takeaways
on to Dallas? Oh, wait a minute. That's Bill Belichick. Now, I'm hoping that Clark Harris is fine. Otherwise that they had the training camp battle with Kyle Adamidis. He is on the practice squad. So if there's any, you know, if there's anything long term, you at least have a guy that's worked with your specialists through the whole training camp. Honestly, this is a game. I think you look at the tape. You know, you've got 70 minutes of tape to look from. You kind of go over once, then you throw it in the garbage. Offensive line, I think, again, with more communication and just more reps together as a unit, it's going to look better. I mean, it's even in the worst games of last year, the line barely looked as bad as it did today, and that's with inferior talent. So I'm not worried. I'm not happy, but I'm not worried about how it's going to be long term.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any reason whatsoever to be too concerned. I mean, should be concerned. I mean, it was ugly, but no reason to give up hope just yet at all.
Alerted, but not hitting the panic button yet.
Yeah, really. I mean, it is. It's game one. It's a long season. You know, there were times early in the season where you would never have guessed last year this team was destined for such big things. Let's pump the brakes just a little bit, but also be realistic about this team. You know, last year they made it to the Super Bowl, but it wasn't like they ran away with the AFC. And so, you know, it's going to be a tough slog this year, but there's no reason whatsoever why they shouldn't be there all the way to the end. Can I mention one thing quickly, and then I'll let you say whatever else you want to kind of wrap up your thoughts. At the Riverfront, we have this thing called patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, our family, our group, where we, you know, talk and hang out. And, you know, if you can go support us if you want to there. But we decided to do something unique this year, which is a survivor pool. Now, I'd never done a survivor pool before, but I've known people that have. Joe, what's going on with our survivor pool at the Riverfront?
I appreciate you bringing that up. Don't think I ever want you hosting this again. I think it's just going to be Nate and me from now on. No, so
sorry, I had to do that. I'm sorry, but now you're on the spot.
Yeah, the only two who are actually out of the survivor pool right now is your brother Nate, who picked the Jags to win, which I had to question his intelligence on that one. And I picked the Colts to beat the Texans because the Texans are terrible, and then they went ahead and tied them, which knocks me out. I should have realized that the Colts haven't won an opening, haven't won their opener in 9 seasons now. So maybe I should have done a little more research on that.
Nah, just having fun with you. Nate, I don't know what you're thinking about, but he's trying to sneak one by in week one and save some teams for later, I think. But
I'm still going to throw him under the bus.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. 100%. So, all right. Yeah, listen, we're going to, the next episode of the show will be later this week. And there'll be a lot more in-depth breakdown of what happened. We'll have all the quotes from all the press conferences. We'll get to see how they look during the week at practice. And so we'll be back at you to prepare for the Dallas game next Sunday, later in the week. But any other kind of quick reactions that you think we need to deliver here? Any more hot takes? Or
only the hottest. No, the only thing that I was kind of disappointed in, the Steelers have a bad offensive line, and they really didn't get a lot of pressure. There's one sack for 2 yards that was Trubisky running out of bounds 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage instead of flicking it forward because he's an idiot and a bad quarterback. Outside of that, there were a few pressures. There was Hubbard almost got a safety on one, but he had more time than he should have had for a team with a bad offensive line. So that's, I would hope that they're, that's something that they can fix, stunts, blitzes, whatever, but it's one thing that I was pretty disappointed on.
Yeah. I think you're right. There were not very many good things to bring from this, but I do come back to where I started, which is that it was clear they were the superior team. The Bengals were the superior team. And, I don't know. Fingers crossed that they can get it right going forward. Joe, this is the first time I ever talked about the Cincinnati Bengals, really, in public. Is this a dangerous thing for me to be doing?
Well, I mean, you're used to sadness with the Reds. So, I mean, this is more optimistic sadness, but it's still a lot of history of sadness.
Yeah, I don't want to – I shouldn't mention all the people that tweeted at me saying, just as soon as the Riverfront starts to get into the Bengals, like, what happens? Yeah, it's probably my fault. So, no, next week's going to be a big win against a team that we have some history with. And not really. Don't really have any history at all with Dallas. Yeah. But, I don't know. I tried to go into the – I don't know what I was doing there.
Try to add some intrigue into the
I was trying to.
The whole thing.
Yeah, this will be my last appearance.
It's the L. Collins Bowl. That's what it is. and Chido Awuzie played for the Cowboys too. So,
all right. Well, let's. I am looking forward to hearing the analysis on the next show. And Joe, man, I really appreciate you always being our go-to guy for the Bengals here. And I'm excited about the. You and I've talked a little bit, but this is the first time I've got to join you here, and I'm excited about this project. I think that we are going to have way more fun following this Bengals team this year than we have with the Reds. And so I'm excited to have an outlet for us to get excited again.
Glad. Always happy to be here to help out. So,
all right. Well, this is the Riverfront, episode 2 of the Bengals show. We come at you every week, and then hopefully a quick reaction podcast when we can. This has been the first quick reaction podcast to the Bengals 23-20 loss in overtime in opening week. Join us next week. Always follow us wherever you find podcasts, search for The Riverfront. Give us a follow. And we're also going to be on – this will be on YouTube as well. So give us a like and a follow there as well. Joe, man, always fun, buddy.
Chad, take care of yourself.
All right, for Joe Farsing and I don't know who, Icky Woods maybe. This is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.